Chapter 23. Doorkeepers. Why am I here? Deep down, I knew the answer. I was pathetic and dead. The door remained locked, but the woman's cyan light still drew me in.
You aren't allowed to knock.
I must. I want to go home.
Home?
Beyond that door, they know my name.
They know it as a hunter knows its prey.
I knew the true meaning of being marked, and what was waiting for me on the other side. I will fight the fiends until they know it another way.
Not while you wear their shackles.
I will break the chains that bind me.
And you will destroy yourself in the process.
In the distance, the rumble of a predator echoed through the unquenchable ether. I knew its name. Maybe we could swap. It's not supposed to be this way, the lady in blue replied.
Who says?
Feth, but I didn't know. Samara Kilhaven's deft touch with a needle stopped my heart and ejected me from my body. There was nothing left of me to honor, not even my name. The doorkeeper should have known that before I'd ever seen her light. Samara had figured it out, so why couldn't Morgana Zhao? The pain when it came was immense. The paw of the bear had found its porcupine. I couldn't form words. An inhuman wail erupted from deep in my throat, backed by stale breath and tightly shut eyes. Infants were born this way and quickly bound in a swaddling blanket. They found comfort in it. Control the body, and you control the mind, or simply turn off all the lights and wait. Nobody dared to touch the psyker as he moaned and screamed and fought his way out of a warp-tainted body bag. The air in the unlit room tasted odd. It left a slippery coating on the surface of my mind. The passing of time, normally counted in breaths or sentences, slipped through my fingers, as did my name or my reason for being. It was all the same. The binding snapped. I crawled for a corner, any corner, and prayed that I hadn't been stowed in a round room. Ghosts can hide in corners. I was a ghost, the War Master's ghost. In time, the corner was forgotten, and the wall found my head again and again. I tackled the cot on which I'd been strapped and ripped it apart. It never fought back. The air grew colder. Another corner was found. I buried my face in it and woke to the smell of fresh iron. It wasn't supposed to be this way. It was wrong. The room was wrong. The ceiling was too low, and there wasn't enough air for the two of us. Back in the corner, a fresh one lacking the taint of blood. Cold, polished polysteel with no way out. I couldn't push through it. The floor tasted of water and salt. The bear was back, moaning in its slumber. It limped its way across the room with a thorn in its paw. It roared out a challenge. Hon! A silvery fire sprang up around the beast. The room flickered into existence. The walls had mirrors more perfect than the floor. The fire was doused, and the bear dove for cover. The next corner was taken. A warm body sitting still, and the scent of leather. The bear didn't dare push it out of the way. He slept beside it, and when he awoke, the corner was empty. He wept, whispering of angels and ghosts. Alone in that pitch-black room, he searched for names, and when he found them, he mourned every second of their loss. He traced them with his mind until they glowed silver, painting the floor and walls with his family and his soul. He read them all back in a silent liturgy. It was a bridge, and he didn't dare jump off. When the time of mourning finally ended, he stood. The manic craze and unending paranoia were gone. The depression and loneliness had fled along with the hunger, allowing Parrot Kilhaven to return. He walked to the center of the room, clasped his hands, and bowed his head, locked in place under an endless shower of pale blue light. The interrogation flowed both ways. How did I feel? Different. Surprisingly less empty than before. How long was I gone? 20 days. 10 of them within the embrace of a sister of the abyss. Morgana Zhao had overseen the healing process after the Ordo Banishers had finished their work. Where was Inquisitor Locke? Gone. Traveling to darker shores on his next mission for Ordo Malleus. Why didn't Locke wait for me? He was honoring the deal that had been struck. What deal? The one between Malleus, Hereticus, Lord Kilhaven, and the Imperial Guard. What did I get out of it? The life of an unmarked. I'd been showered, groomed, and planted in a fresh set of scrubwear. A collar similar to the last adorned my neck. It was part of the deal. Inquisitor Trinneer lost some of his ice-cold edge when we got to the topic of my death and resurrection.
The rites of banishment required it. Either way, you would have died, so we chose the safest route.
But I'd survived the rite without issue when they removed the mark of Silgaemon. Morgana Zhao sat beside Trinneer.
Parik, you had 4 marks, each intersecting at your heart. We took them all. Your death was inevitable.
Morgana had been there to bar the door. I shouldn't have complained, but I did. You had Samara Kilhaven do it?
She volunteered,
said Trinneer. Sam had seen the alternative method. I'd thank her later. Morgana, did you check her afterward?
She's clean. We checked everyone that had been near you.
I'd been reckless getting Sam involved. Gorseman was a mimic and a maniacal lecher. It never stopped searching for a new conquest and covering its tracks with diversions. I'd beaten it into submission and sent it home. But the entity had doors into other hearts. And the witch?
After a thorough examination of every person in the Schola Psychana sector, Hereticus found 3 candidates bearing the active mark of Gorseman. 2 students and a proctor.
I could guess their names and doubted they had anyone cutting deals for their lives. What was the final verdict?
The students were administered the rite of banishment and are in quarantine while they recover.
And the proctor? Trinneer knocked the wind out of me.
She declined the rite.
Declined? She was terminated? I couldn't wrap my head around the thought.
With prejudice, she didn't suffer.
My heart and mind felt clearer than they had in months, maybe years. I didn't want to waste the second chance I'd been given, but I couldn't let Trinneer's reality go unchecked. He had to know the truth. They all did. I turned my attention to the interrogator. Morgana, what happens to a soul that has been warp-marked when their physical body ceases to exist? Trinneer responded harshly.
Silver, that isn't your concern.
The Feth, it isn't. The rite of banishment should have been given regardless of the final outcome. So much for second chances. As a psychic doorkeeper, Morgana knew perfectly well what I meant.
Inquisitor, he has a point. Jun Alicante would be bound to Gorseman in the Sea of Souls. Her suffering will be eternal.
Caught out, Trinneer seethed.
Silver, who are you to challenge our methods? You're a Sanctionite hanging by a thread.
Gorseman was an incredibly dangerous fiend. There was no question it needed to be eradicated from our side of the veil in every way possible. Every door had to be closed. I could only hope that Jun Alicante found Jovan Kilhaven waiting for her in the Sea of Souls. Inquisitor, I'm not questioning your methods, and I admire you both for your resolve. To better make my point, I stood and bowed. I am simply more aware of the consequences than most, and thought to share them with those responsible. Morgana knows that I have knocked on Oblivion's door. The act of knocking denotes a fallen state of being that matches most of the candidates within the walls of Psychana, whether they bear a mark of ruin or not. Trust isn't built upon an empty or broken heart. Proctor Alicante showed us the falsehood in that. Trinneer eased.
Parik, please sit. As we've stated, the rite was offered and declined.
But not in my case. I was never given a choice. I was dead on arrival.
Morgana would testify otherwise, and besides, it was part of the deal. The foundation for it, really. Nobody wanted to risk a Primaris with 1 empowered mark, let alone 4.
A Primaris? I'm a Sanctionite hanging by a thread. Trinneer smiled.
That you survived the banishment ritual ran counter to the will and expectations of many. You can thank Inquisitor Locke for the reprieve.
I fingered the bomb-laden collar around my neck. Is this a reprieve?
In the annals of Ordo Hereticus it is. And again you can thank Inquisitor Locke for his contribution. He showed us the missing mark, the one that ruled your world. Having been rewrought by the Medic A, your body lacked the telltale physical manifestation of being marked by a warp demon.
I coughed. Han? Morgana saw my confusion.
Parik, during the battle on Fulcrum 4, the demon roared, planting its mark on everyone left in the Underhive's Temple Hall. Its mark on your soul surpassed all the others. With a warp demon laying claim to your being, the rite of banishment took 3 days to complete.
Then 5, I said. Counting Silgo's, all 5 marks have been banished. Am I free? Never had I asked such a stupid question. I would never be free from the shackles of someone or something.
You are one of the rare unmarked. I have met other psychers that went on to succeed after having a mark banished. Having served the Imperium with distinction, they eventually knocked with the Emperor's blessing, unchained by any warp entity.
They were psychers with 1 faded mark, not 5, I replied. That explains this collar and its charge, doesn't it? Trinneer nodded.
Parrick, I'm glad we see eye to eye on the matter. We don't see any possibility of removing the collar, even after your promotion to neonate. Inquisitor Locke left the solar system for a reason. He knew of the Mark of Horn and confessed to a plan for banishing it upon completion of your Sanctionite year. It was a bold yet reckless play on his part.
Inquisitor Teodoro Locke knew my end goal. He'd tried to get me there, but I'd been too broken to reach it. After a desperate missive from Ordo Hereticus, Locke had returned to Terra and crafted the deal of a lifetime between five disparate parties. The Ordos Malleus and Hereticus, Schola Sicana, House Kilhaven, and the Imperial Guard. Locke gave up all claims to my services in the process, allowing the Imperial Guard to step in with their insurmountable backing. They would always be the highest bidder. The wars of mankind never ended, and my post-breakfast rocketry had validated the prize in their eyes. Besides the hidden warp mark of Hahn, there was another problem that Inquisitor Locke had failed to address when he dropped me on the doorstep of Terra and fled. I had been clinically insane. My earlier possession by creatures of the Immaterium, their lingering marks biting like hooks into my soul, the isolation, and the overload of Medicaid treatments all combined with the loss of my family and friends to decimate that which had been Parrick Kilhaven. Parrick Silver was a creature without footing and unable to cope. He was far too unstable to own a weapon, follow an order, or trust to walk a straight line anywhere, no matter how strongly the Commissariat intervened. He could only circle a malformed reality and pray things got better. The past few weeks had resurrected a lost young man. The Hereticus isolation chamber had been entirely effective, forcing any remaining psychoses to the surface. I would enjoy regular follow-up visits with Medicaid specialists to ensure that inner stability became a permanent aspect of my file. Interrogator Morgana Zhao would attend my daily Sicana evaluations with Lord Kilhaven, and Ordo Hereticus would have the final word in my scheduled advancement into the arena of unending war. The Dean of Sicana had demanded that I complete my Sanctionite year, after which he would relinquish ownership to the Imperial Guard. Schola Sicana would guarantee my safety and allow me to defend myself without further commissarial intervention. Funnel Galt had gotten a similarly sweet deal during his stay, which had ended while I was still a pain-ridden ghost. There were thousands of wars on as many worlds, and the odds that we would meet again were minuscule. What did Teodoro Locke get out of the deal? A clear conscience and a radical reputation among those of a rival order. In fighting for my survival, he'd stated that it was owed and placed his own marker on the table in the form of a video data file simply labeled, Hahn. Having seen to my apprehension and survival, he took his leave, returning to orbit and dictating a course to a distant star system. Other duties called. I'd never gotten a chance to say hello, goodbye, or thank you to Locke and his crew. To be fair, I hadn't been up to forming any coherent sentences by the time they'd left orbit around Terra. Bree Halland had looked even better than I remembered. That she'd shot me in the back was a kindness. The Hereticus firing squad waiting on the skybridge would have never allowed me to cross it alive. I was given access to my psyker abilities, and my modest energy supply rebounded slowly. I didn't dare pull from Starfire until I was sure I could handle it. I'd been a Delta Standard Psyker operating as a Gamma Prime. Juggling an overload of warp-tainted energy for so long had been another factor in my psychological slip. Most Psykers were addicts when it came to using their powers, but most didn't have an unending supply of dark energy to steal at every turn. Morgana Zhao gave me a new lesson in personal shields. I'd gone around shielded for war, consuming and expending incredible amounts of warp energy. With my paranoia banished, a more subtle barrier would work for day-to-day use. Morgana wore a blue-tinted layer that matched her garb, delicate yet impervious to the dire energies of the Immaterium. I shocked Morgana by copying her spell right down to the brilliant blue-green color. Gorsamon, the mimic, had done something I hadn't thought possible. It stole the unique colors of others as a form of disguise. I could only guess which had been the true hue of McKittrick, but my money was on pale blue. By contrast, silver was my color, and I wore it proudly. It went with my eyes. Ordo Hereticus kept me under observation for another 10 days, waiting for me to snap. When that didn't happen, I was escorted across the skybridge, a shorter trip than I remembered, and into a lift car. The readers could only read, They couldn't rewrite the pattern of my soul or the frayed sentences of my mind. The eradication of the warp marks had ended a cruel path and opened the way for healing. As a parting gift, I was presented with my custom-fitted Dura leather coat. The two laser-burned holes in the back gave it a more personal look and offered a reminder of where I'd been. One pocket held my pair of medicuffs. As a priceless memento, the imbued device was a link to my past more than a statement about my future. My escort halted outside the lift and I asked, "Where to?" Inquisitor Trinneer kept it simple.
"The choice is yours."
The doors closed, leaving me in control of one tiny fragment of my life. I pressed my thumb to the biosensor.